Good afternoon. Good morning. Can you hear me better than you did the first time? Okay. We had a problem with the microphone, but now apparently it's solved. Thank you again for the opportunities, the elders and the members of the congregation here, to invite me back home. This is my home. This is where I grew up 39 years and X number, 8 days ago, I believe. My wife and I were married here in this building, and it is like coming home. Many of you I know, many of you I have grown up with. Some of you I don't know, but we appreciate the opportunity always to preach the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, number 5 says to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. This is a commandment that is not optional. Yet, when's the last time you did just exactly that? When is it? If you're a Christian, maybe you've been a Christian for 2 months, 2 years, 10 years, 50 years, how often have you expressed this commandment in your life, that you've actually done it, that you have examined yourself? As I said before, as a marketing communications major, we were told that every story has to answer 6 questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Well, this week through Wednesday, we're going to do a thorough examination of ourselves. And we have first of all answered the question of who are you? Made in the image of God. We have been given life. We have been given a soul. We have been given choice. God gave His Son to die for us. As Christians, we are told that we are salt and that we are light. That we are a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are a holy nation, that we are a peculiar people, that we are the temple of God. Tonight, we'll look at when are you? Monday night, where are you? Tuesday night, Lord willing, why are you? And we will finish up the examination Wednesday evening with how are you? But this morning, now that's the wrong slides here. Hang on a minute. I've got to get back. That's the first ones. Might need some help here. Anybody help me here to get it back to where I need to go? Carl. Hang on here. Maybe this is it. Try this one. Nope. This will get it here. I think I've got it now. I just have to learn how to do your thing there. No, that's not it either. Hang on a minute. Don't leave. No, don't leave. There we go. Now we're there. Okay. This morning we're going to ask the question, what are you? We've talked about who you are again. Made in the image of God, you've been life, choice. As Christians, we are salt and light. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We've been given a soul. We're a holy nation, peculiar people, temple of God. But this morning we ask the question, what are you? What are you? Have you ever considered the phases of your life? You go through different phases in your life. Because there are things that we certainly do all have in common. For instance, we were all born. Well, there's no doubt we had to get here some way, didn't we? So we're all born. We are all, we know, created in the image of God. The Bible tells us that. We were given life by God. We are either male or female. We're one of the two. And as we go through our lives, we wear different hats. Sometimes we wear many hats at the same time. For instance, we're a son or a daughter. We're a brother or a sister, a husband or a wife, a mother or a father. We're a grandmother or grandfather. Different times in our life, we can say that we are in obedience to God. Sometimes we say we are in disobedience to God. Sometimes we say we're a good influence we're really a good influence. Sometimes we're a bad influence. Sometimes in our lives, we go through periods of great health. Sometimes in our life, we go through periods of illness. Some have education, some have no education. Some work, some don't work. But we all die. And there is the judgment. So if someone asks you, what are you? Dependent upon the time of our life and the circumstances in our life, we see that we move through many different phases of our life. But there are three things that happen to every one of us. We're born, we die, and then we're judged. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. What are you? It is what you do between your birth and your death that will determine your eternity. Linda Ellis wrote this poem. It's called The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered the most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know what little line that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more. To love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy's being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Question. What things do you do each day in your walk as a Christian? What do you do? From the time you get up till the time you go to bed at night, what are your actions, thoughts, things you do, things you don't do in your walk to God? What does God say about that walk? In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Beseech means I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable to God. Notice what it says there. This is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You notice what it said he wanted you to do? What is his will for your life? He wants it to be a living sacrifice. He says that is your reasonable service. He wants you not to be conformed to the world. He wants you to be transformed, to renew your mind each and every minute of every day. But then we go to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And notice what it says here. It says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me call a time out there. When you were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christian, that's exactly what you did. You put the Lord Jesus Christ on in baptism. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make not provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But we don't do that, do we? We don't. We don't. Romans 14, look at verses 8 and 9. It says, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. And so whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died, and He rose, and He lived again, that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Drop down to verses 11 and 12. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee will bow to me. Every tongue will confess to God, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now that's a scary verse. Every one of us will give. You like to give account to people? Give account to your boss for what you've done, what you hadn't done? Every one of us will give account to himself of God. That's what you are. What you are. Give an account. Account of what? What we do. What we do with the time that God gives us. You know, there are 168 hours in the week. That's it. You don't get a second more. You don't get a second less. That's the great equalizer. There's 168 hours every week that God gives us. Now, let's just assume that you come to church every time the door is open. Now let's say this week doesn't count because this is a special week. So you have a few extra hours. But let's just say on a normal week, you come to church for Bible study on Sunday morning. That's 1 hour. You come to church Sunday morning, worship, 2 hours. Sunday evening worship, 3 hours. Wednesday, 4 hours. God gave you 168 hours a week. You are here 4 hours to worship God. Is that it? I'm going to tell you what. That's where it just starts. Because when you leave this door this morning, that's really when everything starts. That's when the challenges begin. We should give an account of what we are 168 hours a week, not just 4 hours a day or 4 hours a week in going to church. That's what we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, it doesn't matter what it is, give all and do all to the glory of God. Everything you do. Now, you think about that for a time. Every person you see, every act you have, every thought you have, you do all to the glory of God. Then we go to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Now, this is a challenging, and this is another one of those scary verses. We talk about what are you as a Christian. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Are you listening? Bringing into captivity every thought you have to the obedience of God. Every literal thought. So then I ask a question. Well, what do you think about? What are the things you think about today? Now, you may be listening to me this morning, but Satan may have taken your mind and you're way over here thinking about, well, here's what's going to happen later. Or here's what I got to do this week. Well, what kind of things do you think about? Well, Psalm chapter 119, 97, David said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Is that what it is to us? If we bring every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ, that's what we're going to think about. Every thought. I love your law, Lord. I meditate on your law, Lord. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. If you're a Christian, what are you? Here's what you are. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. That's what you are. Galatians 3:27. If you're a member of the Lord's church, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Now this sounds real good, doesn't it? What we are. But there's a problem. And here's the problem. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any place. But I don't believe we do that. I don't believe we do that. And the Bible tells us, God tells us, 2 Corinthians 2:11, that we don't need to be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. But we act like we're ignorant of his devices, don't we? We act like we're ignorant of his devices, but yet his devices are everywhere. We bring them in the home with us. We carry them with us on our cell phone. He is literally everywhere surrounding us with his devices. It could be a bad attitude. It could be you not like somebody and the things you think about them. You may defeat him today, but he is a master camouflage artist, and he will repackage his product and present it to you maybe even a totally different way tomorrow. He will never give up. Never give up. The Bible tells us we're not ignorant of his devices, but we act like it, don't we? We'll talk about that later this week. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16-17 says we need to redeem the time. We need to make the best use of our time. Why? Because the days are evil. And I don't know about you, but I don't watch the news no more. I don't have time for that nonsense. Because all it is nonsense. It's Satan trying to make you angry, trying to get you to think differently than you should. I don't pay attention to the media anymore. I have no interest in it whatsoever. None of it. Because those are just tools of Satan. What do we have to do? We have to redeem the time that God gives us. We don't know how long each one of us has. But it says you need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Verse 17 says, so therefore, don't be unwise, but you need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be ignorant of Satan. Don't be ignorant of his devices. That's what we are. We need to understand that we need to be in his dominion. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Apostle Paul said, not that I speak in want of respect, but I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Are you content? Now be honest with yourself. Are you content? Do you fuss and fume and complain about first one thing? And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. He said, I have learned. You know what that means? That didn't come naturally to him. He learned how to do it. It was not something that said, oh, well, guess what? I'm going to get up today and I'm going to be content. No, he didn't do it that way. He said, I've learned what? Through trial, through error, through tribulations, through problems, through Satan and all the things he throws at me every day. I've learned in whatever state, in no matter whatever it is that's going on, I've learned, therefore, to be content. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, here's what you are. You need to seek the things that are above, where Jesus Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. We don't do that. We're all about the business of the earth and what's going on here instead of saving souls. How many people do you think are within a 2 or 3 or 4 mile radius of this church that don't even know this church is here? Maybe it's because we're not doing our business. We're not spreading the word. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you, Christians, have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. All of that amounts to idolatry. We go to Colossians 3, verses 16 through 21. What are you? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Here's what we need to be doing. Redeeming the time. Teaching. Admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 11. Now here's a good one. That you study to be quiet and to do your own business. Work with your own hands as we come in. I want you to think about that for a second. Do you study to be quiet? Or do we always want to do that all the time? Huh? Some of you may remember Brother Harold Sharp. He married me here 39 years ago. As Brother Lewis's older brother. And he said, the Lord gave you two ears and one mouth. You need to listen twice more than you talk. And he said, and then if you don't do that, he gave you some bars right here. And if you don't have bars, he gave you shutters. Study to be quiet. We don't do that. We want to get our point across. We want to do the things we want to do. And we're just out there right now. This is the way it is. Huh? Lord says, you a Christian? Study to be quiet and mind your own business. Work with your own hands. As we commanded you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let me ask you a question. You do that? Somebody told me one time, pray without ceasing. You can't do that because you've got to do other things. You cannot pray without ceasing. And I disagree with that. What about this? From the time you get up till the time you go to bed at night, have you ever considered yourself, remember, our bodies, living sacrifices, you consider from the time you get up till the time you go to bed every night, your life is a prayer offered to God. Ever considered that? Then you're praying without ceasing. Each and every minute and every day. Be of a prayerful mind. Be of a prayerful mind. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, until I come, give yourself to the reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. How often do you read your Bible? I don't think you need to read your Bible. Uh-oh. Did somebody just perk up? I think you need to study your Bible. That's what you need to do. You don't need to read your Bible. You need to study it while you read it. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I'll give you a little challenge. I want you to start reading the New Testament. That's what we live under. I want you to start reading the New Testament through every month. And people say, oh, I can't do that. No, there's a difference in can and won't. There's a difference in can and won't. Let me tell you what is encompassed. If you want to read the New Testament through every month, let me tell you what your investment is. You ready? 10 chapters a day, folks. And you do it in 26 days with 5 days or 4 days left over, depending upon whether there's 30 or 31 days. Study to show yourself approved to God. If you ain't reading, you ain't studying. If you ain't studying, you ain't approved by Him. It says what it says. What are we? What are you? Till I come, Jesus says, you need to devote yourself to reading of Scriptures, to preaching, and to teaching. And then we go to 1 Timothy 6, 6-8. And here we go back again to contentment. Just be content. Everything's good. Everything's good. We get all bent out of shape. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you listening? We brought nothing into the world and we ain't taking nothing out. If we have food and clothing, be content. Let me tell you something. You can be the richest person here in this building today. You can be the richest person in Little Rock. You ain't taking it with you. It's going to be somebody else's. It ain't going to be yours. God gave it to you. When you die, it's going to be somebody else's. Isn't that right? But godliness with contentment is great gain. And Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy here, you didn't bring anything in the world, you ain't going to take nothing out. Isn't that true? I ain't seen anybody taking something out of here. Not going to happen. Godliness with contentment, and you know what we do? Right there is what we do. That's what we do. We murmur all the time. We don't like the church building. We don't like the location of the church building. I don't like the preacher. I don't like the songs that he led. I don't like the way she's dressed today. I don't like this. I don't like that. I murmur about first and everything there is to go. I don't like the situation I'm in life. I don't like that I got the gout this week or for the last month. I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm glad I'm standing here today instead of on a cane or crawling. But here's the point. We go about our lives as Christians each and every day, and God is above us, and He sees, and He understands the very thoughts and the intents of our heart, and we murmur. We murmur. Well, you know, we're no different than the Israelites were in Exodus 15, 24. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What is it we're going to drink? We don't have anything to drink." God said, "They're not murmuring against you, they're murmuring against me." And that's what we do. When we murmur against God with the very breath He gives us, we murmur against Him. We're not murmuring against whatever it is. We murmur against God. We go to Exodus chapter 16, verse number 2. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And they were unhappy. God had provided every literal thing there was for them, and they were still unhappy. God has given us so much blessings in our life, and we're still unhappy, ain't we? We're not satisfied. We're Christians. We're going to heaven when we die. He gave His Son to die for us. He gave us a soul that will live forever if we obey Him. And we murmur. We complain. Look what Job said. Remember Job? Talked about him in the first sermon this morning. Here's a man who was afflicted with sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was miserable. He was scraping the pus out of his sores. He's miserable. Now, if anybody had a right to complain and murmur, there's your man. His wife even said, "You're miserable. Why don't you curse God and die?" If anyone had a right to complain, Job had a right to complain and murmur, didn't he? Don't you think? It says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said in Job 27, 1 through 4, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul." Are you listening? "All the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." Wow. You know what that tells me? Folks, when you're on the bottom of the ash heap, when your friends are all gone, you don't have any money, you don't have anything else to go on, and you sit there and you think, "Oh, woe is me." You remember Job. He didn't murmur. He said, "As long as my breath's in me, I'm not going there. I am not going to do it." What are you? Well, what does God require of you? We asked this question this morning. What does God want from me? I'm a Christian. Whether you've been a Christian for a short time or a long duration of time, there are certain things that God requires you, but they're not hard. We just don't examine ourselves and we miss the mark. Because we have too many other things to get in the way. What does God require of me? Fear the Lord. Walk in all His ways, not just the ones you want to, all of them. Love Him. Serve Him with all of your heart and your soul. Joshua in chapter 22 and verse 5, he said much the same thing. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love your God, to walk in all His ways, to keep His commandments, to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Now, let me ask you a question. With the time you have, what are you as a Christian? Are you serving God with all of your heart and all of your soul? From the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night. I love this right here. And you see this in a lot of people's homes in Joshua 24 and 15. You know, Joshua basically told the people, you do whatever you want to do. You do what you want to do. Choose for yourselves today whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what? That's the way it should be. Nothing comes first in front of Him. Nothing. I'll talk about my daughter Hannah. She's not here today. I'd talk about her even if she was. When Hannah was about 10, 11, 12 years old, she was really good at soccer. I'm not talking about good. She was really good. She scored 8 goals in one half of one game, and we had to take her out. She was good. And she didn't just get calls from the little traveling team in Cabot. I was getting calls from traveling teams out of Dallas and places like that. And one guy called me up, and he said, "Mr. Brown," he said, "you know, your daughter's really, really good at soccer, and she would be a real asset to our team here in Dallas. And we'd like for her to join this team." And I said, "Well, what does that mean? When do you play?" He said, "Well, you know, we practice. You can practice there at home, but then wherever we're going to play, and it's in different places around the country, we meet on Friday. We play Friday night. We play Saturday. And if it's a tournament, then we'll play Sunday. And you go back home Sunday night." I said, "What?" I said, "Come again? You play on Sunday?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, then Hannah's not going to be a part of that because we're going to go worship the Lord on Sunday." See, there's some people that don't have that gumption. They don't have that love for the Lord. They'd rather say, "Well, my son, he's going to be a great baseball player. He's going to be a good basketball player. My daughter's going to be a good soccer player. I'm going to let them take this and put that in front of the Lord." Let me tell you something. You regret that. Nothing comes in front of God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. My kids knew better than to ask me. They knew better than to ask me. Because the answer was always the same. What does the Lord expect you to do today? Are you a Christian? You know what to do today. Examine yourselves. What are you? We don't do that. We don't do that. What is man? What is man? Psalm 8, 3 and 4, David asked the question. He said, "When I consider your heavens and the works of your fingers and the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him and human beings that you care for them? And we disappoint him every day." We get mad when our children do things that we don't like. Well, what about us as children of God? How often do we hurt His feelings? And we're His children. We're His children. What do you owe these children here, future generations? What do you owe? I mean, I'm shocked. I've seen some kids here today that were showing me their own kids, and I remember them last time I was here, and they was that big. They didn't have kids of their own. What do we owe the future generations? You know what we owe them? Psalm 71 and 18 says, "When I'm old and gray-headed," already I'm there. "When I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." That's what we owe. If you're a Christian, that's what you owe. Examine yourselves. We don't do that. We think it's all about me. It's all about me. Let me show you something. I want you to turn to Luke 12. 16 through 21. Next time you think it's all about you, here's a guy that refers to himself 13 times in 3 verses. Okay? 13 times in 3 verses. Jesus is speaking a parable, and this is what he said. He said, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Now, I'm going to count on my hands the number of times he refers to himself as I, my, thine, thou. He's referring to himself. It's all about him. "This rich man thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Jesus Christ says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. What are you? What are you? It is about what you are as a Christian one, as a living, breathing human being that God has given a soul to and gave His Son to die for. It is about redeeming your time properly in service to God every minute of the day. It is about being transformed. It is about being renewed. It is about what we are as servants of God and not letting anything or anyone get in the way of your service to God. I've said this from the pulpit many times. I'll say it again. I've said it in front of my wife, my parents, and my family. I will not tell you that I hope to go to heaven when I die. You say, well, that's terrible. That's terrible. No, I'm not going to tell you I hope to go to heaven when I die. I am going to go to heaven when I die. And I will not let my mother, my father, my wife, my children, or anyone else get in the way. Okay? And if that makes people angry, I'm sorry. Because I serve God. He's number one. Family's number two. It's that simple. It's about being transformed. It's about being renewed daily, every minute. It's about what we are as servants of God. And that's what it means. We talk about examining yourself. What you are. What are you? Who are you? What are you? Now tonight, Lord willing, we will continue on with this examination. And we'll talk about when are you. And it's really not a pretty picture. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Okay, well, this is the invitation, and I didn't know if the kids were going to come back or not. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, if you're not a Christian, you have time and opportunity to be a Christian. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins, be raised to walk in newness of life, and you can spend eternity with Him in heaven if you so desire. That's up to you. And if you've done those things that you've been asked to do, but for some reason you've gone off the beaten path and Satan has had you anytime he wants you so he can just sift you like wheat, then it's time for you to repent of your sins and change. Examine yourself and move forward. We pray if you are subject to invitation, you'll come while we stand and while we sing.